Hey guys, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. To find out more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas, visit www.themissiondelray.com.
If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 14. Kicking water bottles up here. Just give me a second. I'm trying to get straightened out. There we go. Praise God. We preach out of the Bible, so we're one of those churches. I went to a meeting last night. Went to a meeting, and there was an anointed prophet who led the meeting. And it was a real small church, real small. It was kind of funny, because if you've ever, all of you have, but if you ever go to a church for the first time, there's always a little bit of timidity, maybe a little anxiousness, uncertainty of what you're going to encounter and who's going to be around. And so if you're new, you probably want to sit in the back, you know, so you can get that easy escape. You know, just in case. And so I show up at this church with a friend of mine, Pastor Pedro, and it's so small that you have to walk in a door. You walk past the worship team to the chairs. So in order to duck out, you have to walk through the worship team to get to the door. So you're like, man, you're locked in. You know what I mean? Like you're locked in. And so it was a good meeting. it was kind of funny because I got three prophetic words. And the first one contradicted the third one, which was kind of funny. In case God was a little confused last night or was suffering from a little Alzheimer's or something, I'd say one of them probably wasn't right. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know, the man was a prophet, and it doesn't make him infallible. God uses him, and he had just a mighty anointing on his life, but we can mix that with a little flesh. And I'm not judging because if you're going to operate in the gifts, you're going to get it wrong now and then. If you walk on this planet, you're going to get it wrong now and then. What do you do when you get it wrong? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. What do you do when life throws you curveballs? And the curveballs are people that you're living life with. And you want to hit them with a bat, you know, like a curveball, but it doesn't work. That wasn't in my notes there. We'll just scratch that out of the podcast. Romans chapter 14. I'm gonna read a little bit of scripture here. I'm gonna start in verse 13. If you're there, let me hear you say yeah. Okay, we'll wait another moment. That's page 949 if you got the right Bible. Are y'all there? Romans chapter 14, starting with verse 13, he says, therefore, this is Paul writing to the church in Rome, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Verse 15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Can you say amen to the reading of the Word of God? Amen. 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 The Lord spoke to me pretty clearly at the beginning of this week. I'm going to let you know what He said to me, and then I'm going to bring it up again at the end of service. The Lord began to talk to me early this week, and if you're at the mission for any amount of time, I don't say this in any kind of bragging way, but you'll notice that the Lord likes to heal depression and anxiety here more than anything else. I mean, we just see it just in passing. People just have hands laid on them, and they come back to me a month later. They said, ever since that day, depression and anxiety has left my life. It's just a byproduct. And part of that reason is I began praying for that within months of me getting saved. Within months of me meeting Jesus, I just began to get a burden for people who are dealing with the issues of life. I began praying for things, you know, while my friends were praying for, great miracles and great manifestations in the air and all kind of things that might make you famous. I just began to contend for things that will make people's lives better. I began praying for things like an anointing to heal acne. I mean, you're not going to get on the cover of Charisma magazine with an anointing to heal acne, but you'll keep a whole lot of middle school students from hating their life. Can you imagine going through middle school and high school without hating the way you look? You know, I began praying for anointings for like rheumatoid arthritis, for osteoporosis, for scoliosis, for lupus, for these issues that weigh people down, for depression and anxiety and issues of the mind. I just wanted God to be able to heal those things that weigh people down and keep them from being able to focus on the kingdom. Now, in that amount of time, now we've seen, gosh, cancer's healed a lot. I've seen miracles. I've seen, you know, limbs grow. I've seen all kinds of, you know, tumor disappearing stuff. I've seen stuff. If you're part of this church, you've probably done some of the stuff that I've seen. You know, I'm not talking about here's a church that has an anointed pastor. I'm talking about I am the pastor of an anointed church. There's a difference. There's a difference. You know, I'm going to leave that at that. And it's my heart to see an anointed church grow. I have no desire to be the 21st century P.T. Barnum that people come and see the circus that I put on once a week. I have no desire to lead a charismatic circus. Oh, your church is wild. Come look how wild my church is. Now I get wild. I mean, the Holy Ghost wants to do something. You go ahead and do it. I'm down. Whatever. I took a picture of myself laying on the ground last night. I'm just going to be honest. If that offends you, I don't know what to tell you. I couldn't get off. Took a picture of myself, mailed it to my wife. I was like, here, check this out. Now I don't lay on the ground waiting to see when, you know, he's going to stick me to it though. But it's just so my heart to see a group of people who have the kingdom of God flowing through them, who understand why Jesus had to die on a cross. He didn't die just to change the books we study. He didn't put on flesh just so we can have a different church language. Just so we can have a new set of rules. He died for a reason. And we've talked on and on at the mission here about how his glory is manifest in the church. And we've talked about what the hope of glory is. And we've talked about in his great prayer before he was murdered, how he prayed for us. And it's significant. These words are significant because they're the heart of Jesus and what he's praying for right now. And I was the beginning of this week, I was getting my message together. I was beginning to study scriptures that I had been planning. You know, I had groups of them, and I was studying the group I was going to. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, I want you this week. Here's what he actually said. I'm going to heal depression and anxiety. He spoke to me like that. I'm going to heal depression and anxiety. I'm like, well, Lord, you do that all the time at the mission. That's like telling me, you know, the air conditioning is going to be on this week. Of course it is. Of course. People come and they're like, Pastor, I don't know. Ever since I've started coming here, I get prophetic words for people. I'm like, welcome to the mission. That's just what happens. People come here and they just begin to prophesy and get visions and miracles. I mean, so of course you're going to heal depression and anxiety. You know, of course. He's like, no. Normally it's a byproduct. This week it's going to be the focus. Okay. And he began to challenge me as I began to pray and study the scriptures. Like, you know, if that's just an average fruit of your service, imagine if that was the point, what might happen? Does that make sense? So at the end of the service, we're going to pray for that. And some of you are going to have a burden for those with depression and anxiety. And we're going to pray for you too, that you walk in that same anointing. Amen? It's just a sickness. It's just oppression. It's not, you know, just not that strange. It's like people are like, can you believe that Buddhist got saved? I'm like, yeah, because people get saved. He was Muslim. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. He was lost, just like I was. if we put up these different barriers to what God can and can't do, okay, so one might be 1 millimeter higher than the other in difficulty, but he's still so much bigger than all of it. It really is irrelevant. It's like stacking grains of sand in comparison to, you know, a 100-foot wall. You know, is it 1 grain of sand or 2 grain? It doesn't make any difference. He's God, and he saves sinners. I knew that because he saved you and he saved me. And I was more lost than most Muslims. I believe, at least, you know, I was, you know, at least they had a God outside of them. I was my God. Anyway, chew on that one for a little bit. But I want to talk to you today about how you maintain your peace and where your peace comes from. And I may disappoint you that I don't have a lot of teaching on this. I do have scripture, and I am going to preach on it, but I believe the Lord is going to begin doing something supernatural as I'm talking today. As I'm preaching on this very subject, the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost himself, is going to begin moving in lives in this place. He's going to convict. He's going to deliver, and he's going to challenge. Amen? Every major stream of the church has a way to deal with disappointment and conflict. Now, if you're maybe from a Catholic background, what you say is when these hard times come, when the troubles come and the anxiety comes and the depression comes, you say, well, that's the Lord just testing my faith. That maybe this is from God, and he's testing my faith, and this is just my burden to bear. Ever heard that? Now, maybe if you're from the Word of Faith background, all of a sudden, this is something to war against. No. I don't know if you ever heard this one. Oh, no. I don't believe in stress. I don't believe in depression. Like, they're words. I'll show you them in the dictionary. What do you mean you don't believe? I just don't receive that. I don't receive that. I mean, I'm not telling you go to the mailbox. It's on you. But if you're from that background, what you start doing is you act as if it's not in you, it's somewhere else, and you're warring against it, and you deny reality. If you tell me you're not sick and I see you with 104-degree fever, you're just, you've disconnected yourself from reality. That's not dealing with the problem. Now, you may not be allowing the problem to affect you as much, and so that's a way of dealing with the symptom. But you've not actually dealt with the problem. Are y'all with me? There's other flows of charismatic Christianity today that when problems come, they act like they're on some sort of drug. And they just kind of disconnect from reality completely. Have you seen this? They almost over-spiritualize their insecurities. I don't know if you've seen this. And then they become even more useless. And they walk around giggling and on the ground, and it's like, your family's falling apart, and you're not doing anything about that. No, the joy of the Lord's my strength. Like, the strength to do what? And what they're saying is, the joy of the Lord is my strength not to hurt. They've still not dealt with the pain. You hear what I'm saying? The Catholic says that the pain is from God, therefore I can deal with it. The Word of Faith denies that there is a pain. In the super spiritual, they just kind of check out from reality. We knew a couple. they were kind of in this flow. I loved them. Just great people. The husband would be like, you know, I would come home. My wife would be flopping around next to the pool. And I'd be like, then who's watching your kids? They homeschool. What? I just don't believe it's the will of God for you to, you know, check out from your kids and blame it on God. Maybe that's just me. But as we look at this scripture, I believe Paul, who had a common theme in much of his writings that is missed because people pick it apart too much. But what Paul starts saying is, check it out. Things are going to come into your life, and we need to be able to deal with conflict in love. We need to be able to deal with people in love. Now, if you have to deny, you have to get drugged, you have to avoid, if that's what you have to do to keep yourself from sin, well, that's okay. Do that. But there's a higher way. There's something better that God has for you. Amen? I believe God is going to begin to unearth some of that today. I've quoted this scripture, and the deeper the Lord is taking me into Him and into His wisdom, the more I'm seeing that scriptures I've studied or have been taught in the past, the interpretations aren't biblical. Does that make sense? It's wild when you're a preacher and you study the Bible and you start, well, I've thought that this means this, and it doesn't mean that at all. Let me give you an example. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, maybe that's just me. I don't know. I've heard this scripture, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I've heard that scripture a lot in charismatic meetings. And they say, joy is 1/3 of the kingdom. Amen. But he's not talking about that at all here. What he's talking about is, look, there's some folks and y'all are judging one another based on what you eat. And that's not Christian. You can't treat people like that. Look, this who's in and who's not doesn't matter what you're eating. It should be a manifestation of righteous peace and joy. And we're all in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. I mean, to say that, you know, joy is 1/3 of the kingdom is like saying that cheese is 1/3 of a hamburger. That's just stupid. That'll make no kind of sense. You take the meat out of a hamburger, you no longer got a burger. My daughter eats a hamburger without a bun. She's still eating a burger. I eat it with ketchup. Someone else might put mustard on it. It's still a burger because the meat is there. I tell you, the kingdom is righteousness. It's righteousness. And you know what? Because of your righteous living, there should be peace and joy. And if you're in conflict with other people, there's no peace and there's no joy. You ever not want to go to a church because that person you can't stand is there? That's not the kingdom. That's what he's saying. If you're not experiencing joy and peace in your life, you're not experiencing the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me on this? But to say that joy is 1/3 of the kingdom is just not biblical. It's just not in there. And the more I study the word, the more I want to see what God is saying about things. The more I want to go beyond what Paul received. I want to go beyond what Peter received. I want to go beyond what James received. But I can't go beyond them if I didn't learn what they received. We can't go around them. We can't go around the New Testament church. We can't avoid their revelation. We can't put aside and think we're going to build on some. I mean, we don't even have what they had. And we want to go beyond where they went. It's like saying, I want to drive to the Keys, but I don't want to go south. Well, you got a long road to travel going north. I don't want to go south like Flagler did. I want to do it some other way. Well, I mean, that's where it is, though. To go beyond means you went at least as far as they went. And we don't even, I mean, we're missing the plain interpretation of Scripture, and we want to go beyond that. I want you, the family of the mission, I want you, it's my dream to see you with such revelation, such pure revelation that folks are just like, wow, I need you to come and speak. It's my heart to raise up preachers. It's my heart to raise up preachers who want to raise up preachers. That's my heart's desire. And it's my heart to found a group of people who love one another, like family, who aren't jockeying to see who's the most anointed or who's got the greatest revelation, but who want to build up one another in love. You see, he's not talking about, you know, if you want to be in the kingdom, start acting like you're happy a lot. Just start giggling and acting foolish. Now, the Holy Ghost might make you giggle and act foolish, all right? Just letting you know that right now. I've met a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, Pastor, but I don't want to fall down. I'm like, well, you know, that's not up to me. If I push you, you know, come push me back. You know, I'm okay with that. I'm not pushing anybody, but the Holy Ghost might. And if you don't want to yield to the Holy Ghost, you're probably not going to get what he has for you. But to fall down, but to think falling down gets you baptized in the Holy Ghost is just as silly. I want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, no, that doesn't. And just because you laugh and act a fool don't mean that you're in the kingdom. Are we on the same page here? In Psalm 89, the psalmist wrote, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. See, when God talks about justice, he's talking about people being treated fairly. And if righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne of God, and we have an unstable foundation, then the throne can't be established. If we're not treating one another with love, then righteousness and justice aren't our foundation because we prefer one person over another. If we try to exalt ourselves as the anointed one, or we try to exalt ourselves above others, or we're walking in judgment of other people, then his throne cannot be established. And I'm getting somewhere with this. So many people lack peace and joy in their life because the lies of judgment are so rooted in your personality that the throne cannot be established in your life. There's an unequal foundation in your heart, and the throne of God is rocky there because of the constant flows of judgment in your heart. And it could be judgment of yourself. People aren't treated fairly in your mind, or people don't treat you fairly in your mind. If you're constantly looking to get yours, that means you're constantly judging people as not treating you fairly. And maybe they aren't, but your judgment is sin. And your sin against your fellow brother is the very thing that's keeping you from the peace and joy you're striving after. There's an unlevel foundation for the throne of God in your life. People lack peace because they have not behaved justly. Charles Finney said, listen, you cannot lead someone to salvation and tell them they're saved as long as there's unrepentant sin in their life. You give them a false assurance. And you see people all the time just drenched in sin and drenched in judgment and drenched in bitterness, talking about it's my prophetic gift, or it's God's, he's got my back because people hate me, and all other kind of nonsense. And they believe they're Christians and they believe they're in the kingdom, yet they still operate in judgment and bitterness. And I tell you, they're not compatible. It's not compatible. It's not compatible. See, there's rules to this kingdom. And those who line up with the rules get to partake in the benefits. And the benefits are way more than we've even seen. Far more than we've even encountered. You know, there's a funny scripture about how Jesus said, look, if you have enough faith, you can make this mountain jump into the sea just with your word. Now, why would you need a mountain to jump in the sea? You ever thought about that? What could possibly be the purpose of that? I don't know. But he's saying, look, if we're in right alignment with the kingdom, we can do miracles that aren't even necessary, that serve just no earthly purpose at all. I've questioned some miracles. I've questioned some manifestations. I've questioned some sign. I'm like, oh, I understand that, but what's the point of that? And I'm reading that scripture. He's like, no point. Okay, Jesus, no, there's no point to it, okay. But don't mean it's not him. But that's what happens when you're in right alignment with Jesus. Now, I don't want a ministry specialized in pointless miracles, but I'll take them any way he gives them. You with me? Thank you, Jesus. As we look, when we see the patterns of God, here's what I want you to read your Bible looking for the patterns of God. It's easy to pull this one scripture out of Romans 14 and think we can build a whole theology around it. But he says to us, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So there's a conditional statement there. And here's where the breakthrough is about to happen. You ready? There's a conditional statement there. Whoever serves Christ. So just because you confess him doesn't mean you're serving him. We got too many people that know Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. But he's the Lord and Savior. They've recognized his Messiahship. They've recognized that he's the only way to the Father. They confess that he is the only way to the Father, but yet they don't call him Lord of their life. And they wonder why they're not in the peace of God, yet Jesus is not Lord of their life. The Bible says here, whoever serves Christ, whoever serves Christ, and there's so much false theology going on about this today, but it's pretty plain right here. Whoever serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. Now, here's what I want you to see in this. The peace of God in your life has to be based on the fact that you are approved by God. That has to be the foundation of your relationship with other people. I come to you as a whole person. Not because every issue in my life is dealt with, not because of my perfection, not because of my gift, not because of my calling. I come to you because I have been received by God. I come to you in love. Not because I'm better, I look down, or I'm the leader. I come to you because I'm a whole person in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, I came into him and the Father calls me son, and that's who I am. I serve Christ, and so I come not to you looking for you to complete me, not looking for you to approve me, not looking for you to call me acceptable. I don't come to you needing something fulfilled in my life from you. I don't come with any ulterior motive. Since I serve Christ, I'm accepted by God. And so I can come to you as one accepted by God, expecting your approval. Because the only important stamp of approval I'm looking for is God's. And if you are accepted by God and I'm accepted by God, then you will approve of me because God says I'm okay. Is this making sense? How do I determine if you're messed up or not? I determine you're messed up or not if God calls you complete or not. If you've received Christ and you come to me, I receive you as family. You ever try to go around your family and correct them all the time? How's that work out? You know, Mom, I was thinking, you know, about you the other day, and there's some things in your life I thought I wanted to talk to you about. How's that going to go over? Go to your younger sister. You know, sis, I was thinking about some ways you can change your life. You know, I saw this in your life, and I really think... That don't fly, does it? But we do that in the church all the time. Just looking for things and looking how we compare to that person and what's going on in their life and what's going to judge. And I mean, it's getting quiet. Are we okay? There's a pattern in the Bible I want you to see. We look at this in Romans chapter 14. Paul talks about people getting along. But in Romans 13, he talks about spiritual authority. He says, look, there are authorities in the church and there's authorities in the world. He says, let every person in Romans 13, 1, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. And he talks about rulers aren't to rule over you and to be bad into your life, but they're to correct funky behavior. And in verse 5, he says, therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, hear this, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Some of you have no peace in your conscience because you're not submitted to any authority. And you let the whole world speak into your heart. You let too many people's opinions matter to you. And you don't receive the opinions that should matter to you. You don't have a hierarchy in your mind of who gets to speak into your life and who doesn't. You see, I had this prophet, and I believe the Lord set it up. This prophet spoke to me last night, and he spoke a word that was so off. I almost laughed. I was like, you might want to write that one down and find out who it's for, because that ain't got nothing to do with me. And it wasn't, I guess it had a little correction, but it was just weird. And I'm at peace because he's not an authority over me. I got a pastor. I got a wife. So when people who aren't my authority speak these words, they don't land on my heart because I'm submitted to authority, and that's a covering for me. But some of you, you don't have that worked out. And so some of you are just in rebellion to any authority. And so the Bible says here that your conscience is at dis-ease. And the Bible even says that God's wrath is in your life because of that. But others of you are submitted to too many people. Every weirdo on the street's opinion is going through your mind in the middle of the night. Strangers, you're thinking about conversations you had, and people who work for you, you're worried about what they think, and the lady at Chick-fil-A, and I mean, in all kinds of, you know, and I said this, and did they think that, and all these people have access to your heart. Come on, who am I talking to? I'm talking to some people in here. And you're going through, oh my gosh, what do they think, and what do they think, and what do they think? None of those people are anointed to speak into your life. None of them are anointed to speak into your life. You don't have a correct revelation of spiritual authority. I tell my disciples all the time, you get a prophetic word of correction, you just stop the person. You give them my email address and tell them to send it to me. I'll test it for you. Tell them, no, I got a pastor. You got a word for me. It's correction? Oh, no. Why don't you send that to my pastor? I'm submitted to him, and he'll go ahead and filter that for me. I never get those emails because those people don't understand authority, or they wouldn't try to correct somebody they don't know. God is going to free some of y'all from the bondage of the approval of men. The bondage of the approval of men. This scripture right here is going to come alive in your heart. I have been accepted by God. Therefore, I should be approved of by men. And those who do not approve of me do not understand my acceptance by Jesus Christ. Therefore, they do not have authority to speak into my life because they don't understand the kingdom I am a citizen of. Come on, this kingdom got some, they got some rulers in it. It's got a hierarchy to it. And Jesus is the one setting the rules. And those who don't line up with the rules of Jesus as he had written down in the word aren't in the kingdom. Can you imagine just your neighbor one day drives up next to you honking the horn? Pull over, I'm going to give you a ticket. What?
Rolling up the window, you know? Driving along.
You're like, you don't have authority to do that. But y'all be pulling over for anybody who wants to give you a ticket. It's pulling over for everybody. And so what do you do to deal with that? You don't pull over for anybody. Here's the kingdom lineup. Right relationships equal peace. I get in the right lineup, I get right relationships, and I get peace. But in order to live in that peace, you're going to have to start dealing with issues. You're going to have to start dealing with the issues of your life. Say, well, Pastor, well, why aren't you preaching the gospel? Jesus Christ died so you can do this. Okay, there's your gospel right there. To give you power and authority over these issues. See, we all got issues. We got issues and we got hurts and we got pains. And people see them. And people see them because you wear them on your sleeve. And too often, those dictate our relationships with other people, not what Christ did on the cross. Since we don't have a revelation of our wholeness in Christ, we're scared that people are going to touch that pain in our life. So what we do is we put up walls. Now in the world, we try to act hard. That's what you did before Christ. We acted hard. No, y'all don't do it. And so you just find out what line of hard you want to get with, you know? No, I'm super beautiful. No, I'm super thug. No, I'm super looking weird with black paint on my face. You know, I'm just, we just we just try to we get our identity that way. No, I'm accepted because this is how I dress. And when people come to me that way, it's hard for me not to laugh sometimes because I just see it as a mask. You know, it's like I see by the Spirit, and you think the flesh justifies, right? But in the church, what do? Well, we can't use these outward displays of sexual seduction or threats of physical violence, so we act religious. That's what we do. No longer do we say, no, you can't talk to me like that, dog. No, we say, no, I don't accept that. I don't accept that. Oh, no, the joy of the Lord. You know, no. You got problems, dog. In either way, we got to start dealing with some stuff. Ephesians 4, same pattern as Romans. Late in Ephesians 4, he talks about the fivefold gifting, apostle, prophet, evangelist. I mean, early in the chapter, he talks about apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Later on, he talks about the peace, dealing with one another in love. But right in the middle, Ephesians 4:15, he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. Now leave that up for me, please. Just leave that scripture up. I want to just sit there for a moment. The answer to us not getting along is not to avoid conflict. That's not the answer. We need conflict. We need conflict because we need to see when we're wrong. We need to see when we're not acting in love. We need to see when our doctrine is funny. We need to see when we're walking in avoidance. We need that. But we need the truth spoken in love. You ever heard somebody say, you know, well, I had to give them a hard word, you know, but I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. Well, you ain't in love. You're just in judgment. The fact that you're telling me you spoke them told me you're not in love. Or you wouldn't be gossiping about them. You don't gossip about people you love. So your heart is wrong. Can I just say that? I mean, I already said it. I had to speak a hard word to them. I got a hard word for you. Get saved. Work on that, then come back with that other word you had. Speak a hard word. You know, I've received and given those hard words. They don't bear fruit. But what happens when there's someone that you're actually in an open relationship with, that you love one another, and you can come to them and say, you know, baby, I know you don't see this, and we're good friends, but the way you dress is scandalous. I love you. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't speak this in judgment, but I know you don't see it. But there's a problem. We need to pray this thing through. We need to figure out what's going on. Homie, I see the way you look at girls, man. I love you, and we're friends. We'll pray together through this thing, but you need to go to God and check that out. There's a problem here. I need to speak the truth in love to you. You know, sister, I know, you know, we got financial problems all the time, but I really think your family's lazy. And I think if you just work through this, God wants to heal that in your life. This is truth in love. That's scary, though, because we don't want to open ourselves up to people like that. But if you don't start dealing with your issues, then you got to go with one of the other three ways. You get super spiritual, you just get violent spiritually, or you just believe it's God sending this stuff to you. We talked in our marriage group last week about when you have conflict with your spouse, and maybe, you know, and I know none of you married people have ever dealt with this, but, you know, the one spouse might embarrass the other spouse in public. And they'll be like, oh, I can't believe you did that. And you want to have a fight about it right there. No. The Bible says that we're to, you know, if I've embarrassed you, please forgive me. And I won't behave like that in public anymore. But at some point, we got to get together with the spouse and say, we got to talk about why you're embarrassed in public of me. We got to deal with that insecurity at some point. In public is not when we do that. At the office Christmas party is not where we deal with that. We humble ourselves. We say, oh, I'm sorry, baby. Let me just, okay. But when you're not thinking about it, the next day, hey, baby, at some point we got to pray. We got to figure out what's going on here. We need this level of confrontation so that we can work through this problem and it's not a continue. I can't be bound by my spouse's insecurity and she can't be bound by my lack of sensitivity. But at some point, if we love one another, we got to confront one another and come to some level of truth. This is what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about food in Romans chapter 14. He's saying, look, some of y'all grew up under a super religious background and you thought certain foods make you clean and unclean. And you're judging people because they don't eat the way that you eat. The kingdom of heaven is not about eating. Y'all missed it. The kingdom of heaven is about righteousness, peace, and joy. And the fact that you're in judgment means that you're not in the kingdom. But hey, if you're offending people with the way you eat, you're not in the kingdom either. Take responsibility for your behavior. Wait till you go home to eat the pig's feet. Wait till you go home to eat the chicken hearts. You're offending people. Wait till you go home to eat the mushrooms. You're grossing the pastor out. You're making him stumble. You know what I'm saying? Like we're responsible for caring about one another enough that we don't cause these offenses. But at the same time, we're responsible for our own emotions. I'm responsible that I get offended if you say a certain thing to me. That's not your fault. That's my fault. If I'm accepted by God, why is my emotions hinging on how you're behaving? But people function in a spirit of manipulation. And they want their emotions to dictate how everybody else behaves. That's witchcraft. I'm going to be, if you don't do whatever. I just want to cast a devil out of you right now. Can I do that? I'll ask people too. I'm just strangers. Can I cast a devil out of you? It's rarely fruitful, but it makes me feel better. I've done it without asking. It's not as fruitful that way either. Bottom line, James wrote in chapter 1, he said, look, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that, listen to this, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Look, you're in these issues, you're in these trials, you have these problems, but you're not supposed to avoid them. It's supposed to be producing something. You know, a season's supposed to be 3 months. If you've been in a season of testing for 5 years, maybe you're avoiding the season. Stop blaming God. You got to deal with some stuff. God wants us to grow up into mature Christians so we can affect the world. But we're so scared about how people are going to talk to us, and we're so mean and we're so judgmental to the lost because, oh, you don't get it. You got demons and witchcraft. And, oh, that's what I'm like, come on, man. How are you going to reach the world like that? How are we going to reach the world if we can't get whole? We can't even be nice to other Christians. How are we going to win the world with love? We got to deal with some stuff. You got to need to get you in some relationships with people that you trust. All right, I'm going to give you 3 quick steps to peace. And then we're going to pray and the Holy Ghost is going to begin dealing with hearts. Amen? I've preached the word. Okay, number one. Number one thing. First, number one, you want to get saved. If you're not right with God, you're living in sin, don't expect peace. You got to be in right relationship with God to have no peace and no anxiety. You got to be in right, because if you're not saved, if you're living in sin, then you got the back door open to the devil. You're like, you know, the dogs keep tracking in dirt. We'll close a door. You want to keep your house clean. You got to get right with God. Quit lying to yourself. No, it's okay what I do. No, it probably isn't. He says, look, if you're eating this meat and you don't think you're doing something clean, guess what? You're not. Some of you have convinced yourself that it's okay to do what you're doing and it's not. I don't even know who I'm talking to right now. But it's not. You know it's not. God knows it's not. And the fruit of your life shows it's not. I don't know who that's for. Just repent and Jesus will clean it up. Amen? He does all the work. Thank you, Lord. Here's your second step. Okay, you say, I'm saved, and I got issues now. Number two, here's what you do. You worship. Live a life of worship. Get in the presence. You got to worship. Some of you, I don't know, you know, when the funk really drops in my house, I got to turn it. I'm like at a Hillsong conference. You know what I mean? I'm like at Jesus culture up in my room. You know what I mean? I'm worshiping top of my lungs. I don't care. I'm, you know, because when I get saved, I get in right relationship with God. But when I worship, write this down. When I worship, I get in right relationship with the world. I don't worship you. I'm letting the whole world know who I worship. Unless your name is Jesus, I ain't worshiping you. I'm letting him know. I'm letting the world know. I'm letting the earth know. More importantly, I'm letting myself know. I'm not bowing my knee to anything but Jesus. I'm not letting anything else dictate my emotions than Jesus. You need to worship. Some of y'all need to worship as a family. And it's going to be weird at first. I know it's going to be weird. You got on some music and you're like, you know, we got videos on YouTube of our work. Just you put it on. It's going to feel weird. I don't care. Turn up, make it pitch black and just start bobbing your head and just worshiping together. Read Psalms together. Do something. Just begin to live a lifestyle of worship. Walk around your house and sing. Sing to the Lord. Just sing praises to his name as you walk around the house. It'll break things. Amen? It'll break things. So we want to get in right relationship with God by getting saved. We want to be in right relationship with this world by worshiping. Number three, and here's where most people stop. We need to get in right relationship with people by starting to deal with the conflict. We need conflict resolution. You can't avoid it. Can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid it by putting on a fake personality. You can't avoid it by trying to act hard or act like you don't care. You just can't avoid it. And guess what? You can only do your part. You can't control how they behave. But you want to have your conscience clear? Do what you need to do. Amen? Here's what I like to do. When I get in times of dis-ease, when I get in times when the anxiety tries to come at me or the depression starts to come at me, and I know I'm in, you know, I don't have unrepentant sin in my life and, you know, living a life of worship, and I can't think of where the conflict is that it might be, you know, like sometimes you get in an argument with people and then like you're like, well, I that's probably gone away now. If it's still on you, it hasn't gone away. There's a little indicator right there. It's probably gone away. Then why are you thinking about it? It's not gone away. You got to deal with those things in love. But, you know, when you don't have those things lingering out there and it's just the enemy, you know, whatever, you know, I don't scream at him. I just begin to meditate on the things the Lord has told me. I just begin to meditate on those wonderful things. And I just begin to declare them out loud. I think sometimes God allows those things to happen just so we can have the victory in them. You know, he never sets you up for failure, only for victory. He only sets you up for victory. So I was just, this happened to me this week. I was just there. The Lord spoke to me. We're going to have some victory in depression and anxiety. And then like 2 days later, like this thing came on me. I'm like, oh God, this is ugly. And then I can, you know, the temptation is to think it's me. Oh, maybe I'm really depressed or anxious about something. And I thought, the Lord said he's going to heal depression and anxiety this week. I'm going to receive that right now. Just meditate on the word he spoke me. Man, I tell you, the peace of God just came over my life. I'm feeling it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are going to feel it right now. Hallelujah. Mikey, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray for two things, three things, I guess, total. But the Lord spoke to me earlier this week also. He's going to begin healing. There's fractured relationships, and some of you have not seen like a family member in years. There's fractures in close, and I believe God is going to begin healing those to an even greater degree. Some of you have loved ones you've not talked to in years. You had a falling out with a very close friend years ago, and God's going to begin healing that. Hallelujah. 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 Father. Father, you are so good to us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, there's hurting people in the room right now. And Father, they've not avoided the conflict out of rebellion, but because they hurt. They hurt real bad. The pain is so fresh. The pain is so close. Jesus, you died for them that they may be healed. And Lord, you just showed me those who are absolutely tormented with anxiety. I thank you, you want to heal them. The Lord's about to heal the fear of man. There's people that your life is just it's like you can't ever get free of that. It's like constant. And you feel like you're pulled in 12 different directions. That's the picture he just showed me. Like you're constantly pulled in 12 different directions. It's you're always running around trying to figure out what direction it is you're supposed to be going in. The Lord says the answer is not to not care. The answer is to be free. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I just ask right now that we not deal with these conflicts from a carnal mind. We wouldn't deal with them through the old man or with the religious stamp on the old man. But Lord, we would just literally be able to make ourselves vulnerable, trusting you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're pouring out joy right now. Lord, that you're giving joy for mourning. Lord, that there is a peace that passes understanding. That your joy is being poured out right now. That your joy right now is being poured out. You're touching hearts even now, Lord. Your spirit is sweeping through the room, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, the pain is coming to the surface, but the Lord is going to begin to heal the pain. He's going to give you a new focus. I just see it coming to the surface. Hallelujah, Jesus. I speak to hearts that are hurting. And I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. The fire of the Lord is here and he's healing hearts right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire of God. Touch lives right now. I speak freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Can I get my percussion section to come up? My bass and my drum. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tears of healing are happening, Lord. You're cleansing hearts right now, Lord. You're washing hearts of offense right now. You're washing hearts of bitterness right now. The Lord showed me that the memories aren't going to be taken away. They'll still be there. They just won't hurt anymore. It's just not going to hurt like it used to hurt anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The scar tissue won't be sensitive anymore. As we release people in forgiveness and we declare love over people, your healing flows in the room, Jesus. Your healing flows in the room, Jesus. Your healing flows in the room, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your healing flows in the room. Your healing flows in the room, Jesus. Forgiveness is granted right now. Forgiveness is granted right now. You're washing clean right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come and wash, Jesus. Come and wash, Jesus. Wash. Wash hearts, Lord. Come on, he's taking out the thorns of hearts right now. I see him doing it. He's doing it all over the room. He's healing. There's a healing flow in the room right now. And there's a love that you have desired to pour out, but you felt like you had to hold it back a little bit because the heart has been abused and taken advantage of. And the Lord's going to heal. Healing hearts right now, freeing you to love. Freeing you to love right now. All over the room, it's happening all over the room. Freeing hearts, healing you to love. Freeing hearts. Freeing hearts. Hallelujah. 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 He's healing hearts right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hand on your heart and just say, Jesus, it's yours. It's yours, Lord. It's yours, Lord. It's yours, Lord. Heal me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Remove bitterness from me, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom that sweeps through the room. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom that sweeps through the room. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Father, I pray for your righteousness to be poured out in the room. Your righteousness to be poured out in the room, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you today, Lord. We love you today, Jesus.
We love you today, Lord. Freedom to worship. Freedom to love. Purity in relationships. Freedom to love. Freedom to minister your word, Lord. Things to line up with your truth. Hallelujah. 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 It is this foundation of love that will uproot the anxiety in your life. You let love get a firm foundation in your heart, and the anxiety has to flee. The anxiety has to flee. Fire, Lord. Freedom in your lives. Freedom in the house of God. Freedom in the house of God. Freedom in the house of God. Glory. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet if you would. The Lord just showed me that there's people in this room, and you think you're lined up under correct covering and you're serving Him, but there's an ulterior motive in your heart, and it's sabotaging the work God wants to do in you and through you. It's sabotaging. There's an undercurrent at work. There's an undercurrent at work, and the wrath of God is revealed against it. And as I'm speaking this, some of you that God is talking about, you're beginning to tremble a little bit. That's that thing beginning to manifest in your life. I call you to repentance. Ask God to show you where your heart is not right and get it right. Thank you, Lord. I speak forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.